Welcome. Jeffrey Brown joins us today. He leads the Development Innovation Ventures Program, or DIV for short, at USAID. DIV is a cutting-edge, evidence-based, and outcomes-focused grant program. While it focuses on spurring advancements in the developing world, its principles could be applied to many federal, state, and local grant programs. Those principles include crowdsourcing of good ideas, using staged funding to test those ideas, and prioritizing grant proposals based on their cost-effectiveness, their use of rigorous evidence to show impact, and their ability to be scaled up over time. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I know that USAID launched the DIV program in 2010, not that many years ago, with a mission to find, test, and scale ideas that could radically improve global prosperity. So, a big mission, but an effort that started off very small and entrepreneurial.
We essentially started this project without any special authorities from Congress. We started it with a handful of interns and $1 million of reprogrammed money from somewhere else. And so we've been able to grow and see a lot of success. And it's due in part to a lot of the hard work, the amazing team we've been able to put together. But this is something where it's worth kind of starting small and figuring it out.
So before we get into the structure of DIV, tell us about the basics in terms of staff size, budget, etc.
We have about a 12-person team now, having grown from a handful of interns about 3 years ago. We also leverage a whole bunch of external reviewers and internal reviewers who are graciously chipping in their time to be exposed to these ideas and give us feedback on which of these are more promising than others. Our budget has grown from that $1 million to about a $30 million program budget a year. In terms of our applications, we've seen massive growth in our applications from 150 per quarter in our initial rounds up to about 1,200 in our most recent closing date. And this competitiveness really helps us find the cream of the crop. Our acceptance rate is 4% and falling pretty rapidly. Another thing that is very helpful for our agency is trying to diversify the number of partners we work with and who these partners are. And 70% of our applicants have never done business with USAID in the past.
So Jeff, as you know, but our listeners may not, DIV is one of a small but growing number of what are called tiered evidence grant programs in government. They're also called innovation funds. The idea, relative to a traditional grant program, is to make staged bets, where you fund innovative but less proven ideas with smaller investments, and you make larger investments for grantees that have stronger evidence behind their work. It's a way to focus government spending on what works but still allow for innovation, and hopefully grantees move up the tiers over time as they produce stronger evidence of effectiveness. That tiered approach can also be seen as a way to apply venture capital techniques to, in DIV's case, international development. Tell us more about the connection between DIV's approach and the Silicon Valley or venture capital model.
It is so hard for a new idea from an entrepreneur, a social entrepreneur, a firm, or an academic. It's very hard for them to get from "I have an idea" to massive scale, right? And so what we are trying to do on the public sector side is replicate a little bit of that Silicon Valley, where you, in the Silicon Valley, you have a entrepreneur, you have angels, you have venture capitalists, you have private equity and commercial investors. That doesn't really exist for things that are going to be supported by the public sector in the long run. You have a lot of pilots and then a lot of massive projects, and not something in the middle that is really designed to transition the best and only the best from small to big. And so what we have done is we have terminology stage one, stage two, stage three, which are essentially stage one is a seed. It's a great idea. It's got some preliminary evidence. It's not something straight out of a garage. It's something that people are already doing field testing in poor countries. They have some preliminary evidence that they've done this in a handful of villages or whatever. And they're starting to get a little bit of data. And it's not necessarily the most rigorous data, but it's the amount of data that would be appropriate for a very small project. Those people can win up to $100,000 from us.
So a quick recap. Stage one is about establishing proof of concept and real-world viability of an innovative development solution. Give us an example of one of those stage one projects that DIV has funded.
In international development, a major challenge is how do you cheaply provide health services to poor people? And in India, there are these things called ASHAs, which are typically women from poor communities who are mobile health workers who provide care to, you know, other poor women who don't have the training that they have. These ASHAs are on a massive scale because it's India, and since 2005, the government of India is trying to roll out about 800,000 of these, which is absolutely gigantic. And each of these ASHAs will treat many, many women in their villages. And so we have invested in a small startup firm from Boston, which has invented almost a SurveyMonkey type approach to delivering content over cell phones, even the cheapest, most basic cell phones, a Nokia style, that are found in many developing countries, where they can provide audio, they can provide pictures, they can provide it in text-based instructions, which allows them to basically standardize the types of services for, say, a prenatal visit that an ASHA would give to a woman, and then they can collect a lot of the data back from the ASHA providing support to a poor woman, which allows you to monitor, to track whether or not ASHAs are actually doing their jobs, and at the same time ensure the consistency of, you know, an illiterate workforce. So we gave about $100,000 to this firm called Damagi, and one of the things that's interesting about their model is because it's SurveyMonkey-like, millions of NGOs can go out and essentially customize on a web page. These are the questions we want to ask. These are the pictures we want to use. It doesn't have to be for health. It could be, or within health, it could be a million types of modules that an NGO could create very easily and then push it all to their fleet of phones for their health workers in this case. With our $100,000, essentially, Damagi had hoped to find five partner NGOs that would help oversee ASHAs, and by the end of that $100,000 grant and several 1 year with us, they had 11 NGOs in 9 states rolling out this project. What's exciting about this is that the government of India is paying about $1,500 to train its ASHAs, and this seems to be similarly effective and cost us $111 per ASHA in terms of training. 2 years later, they recompeted for us and came back and they won a stage two from us.
Good segue there, Jeff. Tell us about stage two.
Stage two is essentially further along that iterate, pilot, grow, scale path that businesses and ideas need to go through. And it is essentially trying to take something that's been done on a small scale and really boost up the rigor of the testing at a larger scale. Just because something has worked at a small scale, we don't know whether or not it would work in a larger way. And Div Stage 2 is designed to essentially do that.
So if Stage 1 was proof of concept, Stage 2 is about validation at a larger scale. And the maximum grant there is around $1 million, about 10 times the level of the maximum grant for Stage 1 funding. So Jeff, I think your examples really help us ground this program in reality. Tell us about a Stage 2 project.
There are about 400 million mostly rural people in India who don't have power, right? And they often rely on government-subsidized kerosene to both do business at night, study, whatever else. This stuff is dirty and expensive and dangerous because it can create fires and potentially has health impacts. And so a small firm called Mera Gao Power is a startup that essentially tried to create a microgrid business of hooking up the solar panels on various buildings and villages, and then having low-cost wiring strung and a service package provided to households. They have some innovations in both their business model and the type of approach that they're using, the technologies as well, and went to a bunch of commercial investors who said, "You're too early stage. We can't. You guys need to come back to us when you have more traction." So they applied to us. We gave them about $300,000 to expand their model significantly and continue to test it out at a larger scale. And what is pretty exciting is that after working with us for a couple of years at this larger scale, they've been able to attract private financing. It's already been an off-ramp or a handoff from our perspective. They haven't even had to go through all three stages with us. We were able to exit after only stage two,
yeah,
which is something,
yeah,
we're very excited about.
That example is a good reminder that in some respects, DIV is more like a venture capital approach than other tiered evidence grant programs in government. And that's because in certain cases, the innovative ideas that DIV is dealing with are commercially viable, and the private sector can just grab those ideas and run. So we're on a roll going through each of these three stages, And let's turn to the final one, stage three.
Stage three is designed to take something that has a lot of evidence behind it and has happened at a pretty large scale, and then try to really blast it out in terms of replication and scaling. And so something that will scale through the public sector, for example, the idea is to take something that's from one country, take it to multiple countries or one district, take it to multiple districts if it's for a pretty well-populated country.
So Jeff, I know that DIV has one program that's publicly announced, Stage 3, so far. Give us the background on that project.
1 million children under 5 years old die a year from diarrheal diseases, and 88% of these diseases are caused by contaminated drinking water, poor hygiene, and lack of sanitation. And one of the challenges with this is that a lot of our solutions to this often involve laying expensive pipes. But often if they come out in some sort of kiosk, people will take a jerry can full of water and then bring it back to their house and keep it for a couple of days. And they'll often dip their dirty hands into the jerry can of water, which then recontaminates the clean water that came out of the pipes. What we have invested in is a project backed by a randomized controlled trial or two with quite a bit of evidence suggesting that by placing at a communal stand a little dispenser, a little tub that looks kind of like the hand soap dispensers you would see in an airport bathroom, people come to the watering hole, they twist once on this little device and essentially puts a dose of chlorine into their jerry can that will keep their water protected for several days. What's exciting about this is the scale that has already been reached in terms of the massive territory within Kenya that it's been piloted, the randomized controlled trials that back up that the social pressures that people face when they go to these water holes to actually use the chlorine dispenser has led to massive uptake compared to traditional ways to try to get people clean water. And what's exciting about this is that it has the potential to provide clean water for about 50 cents a year per person, which is ridiculous compared to the amount of money that we often spend in pipes.
Ridiculously low.
Ridiculously cheap.
Two final questions, Jeff, as we wrap up. I want to ask you about the applicability, in your opinion, of this model to other places in government. But first, in terms of advice for other public managers, public leaders that are considering transitioning their grant program or a new grant program to a tiered evidence initiative like this with staged funding, what does it take to run one of these types of grant programs?
I think it's an acceptance that we don't have all the answers. We as government officials don't have all the answers, and we need help. And lots of good ideas can come from everywhere. So it's an acceptance of there is a place within our portfolio of government tools to have some bottom-up solutions rather than just purely top-down. What I think also is really important is the idea of when you're competing ideas to have a lot of external eyeballs on the types of ideas. So you can not only crowdsource the proposals and the solutions, but also the due diligence of these. DIV has a roster of over 300 people inside our agency plus outside external experts in various sectors and countries who are helping us due diligence of proposals and find the very best of these. One of our secrets is also not picking our winners and then trying to scramble to figure out how to measure their impact. So because people are competing based on one of the three legs, the evidence, they're incentivized to say, before I even pitch my idea to this competition, go out and find somebody who can help me measure it. And so 58% of our portfolio involve coalitions who are doing randomized controlled trials. I haven't seen anything else that's anywhere near as successful in incentivizing that type of push. And again, we're not mandating it, but the level of the competition has really driven people to find this as a convenient way to focus on evidence.
Finally, Jeff, tell us about the applicability of the DIV program's model of staged funding to other places in government, in your opinion, whether at the local, state, or federal levels.
I would argue that this approach, which is essentially compete a lot of people's ideas, give staged funding to manage the risk, what kind of ideas, ones that are cost effective, have evidence, and have pathways to scale and sustainability, could be used in many different contexts for narrow problems you're trying to solve in a very specific sector, sub-sub-sub-sector, all the way to really big open-ended things like DIV, which are wide open, but also within different geographies. I would argue that cities could be using an approach like this to solve their problems. And so it's all designed to figure out what is the best way to stretch taxpayer dollars really as efficiently as possible.
We'll end the interview here, but I'm going to ask Jeff a follow-up question about why it's so important to build in evaluation before these projects launch, and I'll post his answer to the blog. But for now, Jeffrey Brown from the Development Innovation Ventures Program at USAID, thank you for being with us. I know that I, and I'm sure many of our listeners, are excited to track both new innovations and also existing ones that move up these tiers and hopefully do a lot of good in the world. Thanks again, Jeff.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Thanks, yeah. Andy.